Are you a consultant or dreaming of the day that you make the transition to one? Then you're in the right place. Hello, and welcome to the Global Consultant Podcast, where we introduce you to the life of a consultant and what it takes to make it in the consulting business. In each episode, we will present you with challenges faced, lessons learned, and aspirations realized. By listening, we hope to help coach you as you may consider a life of consulting with its many trials and benefits. Oxford Global Resources specializes in finding the best consultants in engineering, life sciences, information technology, lab services, and healthcare. And we're here to offer tips on how to get started if you've made the choice to transition from employee to consultant and how to navigate those obstacles along the way. Let's begin. All right, Hugh, well, welcome to the Global Consultant Podcast. How are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful. Just getting over a little bit of the flu or whatever it is that's going out there, but I'm doing great.
Great. Well, if you don't mind introducing yourself, I'll leave the floor to you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Reagan. So I'm Hugh Perry. I am the Cloud Practice Director for Oxford. And we cover all clouds. I'm responsible for all the cloud areas and best practices and governance for whether it be AWS, Azure, Google, Oracle, SAP. So I encompass all the clouds within our corporation. And I've been doing it for about 30 years.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty long time. And I know you mentioned that you're an Oxford employee currently, and we'll get to that a little bit later, but can you just talk about what first led you into the consulting world?
I can. I actually started my very first job as an internal consultant, so to speak. I really got interested in the consulting world and was able to assist the customers, look at what their technology is currently, where they're wanting to be at, and how they're going to get there, and how it would enhance their corporation or their company or their business needs. And I just enjoyed it ever since.
Yeah. So where did you go from there? Like, how did you realize that consulting was something that was up your alley, something that you wanted to pursue?
Well, it was funny because technology, I've always been a component of technology. Not to mention my age, but apparently I've been doing it for 30 years. Back in high school, I was the kind of person that they didn't want their brand new computer science class because I was that one guy I always made jokes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just so happened my homeroom was the computer science class. Little did they know that, you know, my father was fortunate enough to buy an Apple IIe, and the first thing I did was start digging into what is an Apple IIe, what is a computer. This is so cool. I like this stuff. So I learned a lot on my own back in the mid-80s. And I learned how to make a boot disk to where that computer can only boot unless you have that boot disk. And since they didn't let me into that course, during the homeroom class one time, I made all the computers have to boot to this boot disk that I possessed. Basically, I held the keys to the kingdom. Until they let me in. So I wouldn't give them that disc until they let me into the course. So I did get a little bit of trouble for that, but ended up being the best student in their very first class of computer science in high school that they ever held. So it was pretty embarrassing. Ever since then, into consulting, I've always been into information technology. I just couldn't get away with it. Rather it be an engineer, a specific engineer for specific technologies, such as storage, VMware, cloud, of course, or whether it be a project management as well, because I also took project management courses and have my PMP as well, because I wanted to be able to see both sides of the fence, not only just the technology, but I wanted to see the business sides and correlate and consult with the executives or the management of companies in that realm.
No, that's great. So obviously you had a love for computers in the beginning, and then that just led you right into the consulting world, I guess.
Absolutely. And I've been consulting for quite some time.
Yeah. So let's just talk about how you know, were introduced to Oxford in the first place. I'm not sure if your first project or assignment that you worked on was through Oxford, but, you know, how did you get introduced to Oxford?
Well, that's one of the things that I'm very proud now that I'm an employee in the full time.
Full circle
is I've been consulting, like I said, in computer technology, information technology, and all of various technologies that there is. And I've always worked with major Fortune 500 companies. During my venture of consulting, I was contacted by one of the Oxford recruiting staff. He was been here for 14 years. And unlike any other consulting company or recruiting company or staffing company, this gentleman was unlike anybody else. Wasn't forceful. Didn't ask me if I just received an email that he sent 2 seconds ago, which is, you know, very annoying to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Always kept in contact with me. Yeah, you always kept in contact with me, just a touch base. Or on a, hey, you, how are you doing? But we've never been able to align because in the consulting world, if you start on a project and they call you in the middle in between, it's you're already committed, or at least I am. But he was in contact with me for at least 3 or 4 years, if not more. Finally, we aligned with a company that has another Fortune 500 company that he's working with. They need a lot of assistance, a lot of consulting in their cloud space. And we aligned up, and so I became a consultant for Oxford, for one of their major companies, Fortune 500 companies.
So that's pretty uncommon where you get a recruiter where, you know, they actually keep in contact for a long period of time, really for the long, long game here. I mean, I feel like that's not super common, is it?
No, it's not. I'm very impressed. Typically, what I've seen in the past is when a recruiter has a demand, and you probably get 10 phone calls from the same job with 5 different recruiters. And then, you know, depending on how that goes, you never hear from them. Very rare. But not in this case. In this case, about once, at least once every 6 months, he would just send me an email or call me to see how I'm doing, you know, anything he can do for me. And it was very personable. He had a personal forum about himself. And I don't know if it was just Oxford until I became full-time. And I found out that this is how Oxford operates. Mm-hmm. Outstanding recruiting capabilities and how their processes are is just...
Well, that's great to hear. So after you got that assignment, how many more assignments did you have before you came full-time with Oxford?
I was with, when Oxford hired me as a consultant, I was with the consulting for that company through Oxford for about 6 months. And then they offered me a full-time position as the current cloud practice director. The client was extremely happy with me. And of course, that trickled down to Oxford, and Oxford wanted to give me an offer. And I think it was time to become not only a consultant, but had the ability to do it full time for various and many Fortune 500 companies that Oxford services. That was something I wanted to do continuously.
Yeah, so now your role is more so you're kind of a consultant within Oxford's clients, right?
Yes. So
it's kind of the best of both worlds.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm a consultant for our consultants, so to speak. And I'm also a consultant for our clients. So I assist the consultants that we hire that are consulting for our clients. And I'm a consulting our internal organization as well. We conduct, I conduct training courses on clouds. You know, anytime they have issues, questions, concerns, don't understand the technology, assistance and client calls, I'm always there to help them and assist them and push up the client and our account manager, so to speak, with the client as well. It's worked out very well.
Yeah, sounds like it. So let's go back to your consulting life prior to Oxford a little bit. So you're based in Texas. I know you travel so much to different assignments, but I know there was a little bit of travel within there. Is that something you enjoyed?
Yeah, actually, before COVID took over the world, I did travel quite, I'd say, about 40% of the time. I went to many, many countries, actually. I went to, most recently in 2017, 2016, actually, as well. We had a client that had a big presence globally, but they also had a presence in the Manila, Philippines. So I had to travel to the Manila, Philippines. Now, that was the longest plane ride I ever had. like 24 hours one way.
Oh, my gosh.
Certainly cumbersome, but the good benefit about that is I got a lot of sky miles from that.
Oh, yeah. I believe it.
Worked out well. traveled extensively over the last 20 years for consulting. So, and I kind of enjoy it sometimes. You know, I have great relations. Strict, and it's a little bit more cumbersome.
Right.
Travel, you know, go through the checks and the checks and the checks and things of that nature. But it's been, you know, pretty enjoyable. You're getting to see the different areas of different part of the world and the technology and how they operate. It's something that certainly they get.
Would you say that if somebody's looking to going into consulting, you know, that's something that they definitely need to love, the travel aspect of it? I mean, it can be a grind.
Well, I think they should be used to it and expect it. You know, that's just the nature of the beast. You know, you have to travel to go on site sometimes. A lot of things these days, and I would say, you know, 90% of these things can be, not more, can be taken on remotely.
Right, especially with the technology. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Technology has allowed that over, you know, the past 10 years easily. But there's going to be times that you just cannot save rack and sack and servers remotely. There's going to be situations and times where you have to be hands-on. You have to be on-site. And sometimes also, depending on the situation, it's always good to be a customer-facing with the customer. Everybody can talk on the phone and they can do video calls, which is outstanding, but sometimes it's really good to be on-site with the customer once in a while.
So what is your best advice that you would have for somebody that's, you know, looking to transition from being a full-time stable employee to going into the consulting world?
I would say to continue education. Technology changes in the blink of an eye as we've seen it. It just seemed like last year that the Windows, you know, version came out all of a sudden in the blink of an eye. There are three versions past it. Technology is continuously growing. It will not stop. And because of that new technology and the ways that information technology works, you have to keep on top of it. Maintain your certifications like I have. I had to take my own certifications and purchase my own certifications continuously. Not only take courses, reading, in order to not only understand and be on top of it. So that's my advice in a consulting world. When you're hands-on in consulting, it's almost like on-the-job training. Certifications are absolutely very valuable. And you take that in conjunction with hands-on as for consulting, that's what I recommend. Once you take a step back and you step away, say from technology, it's just for a minimum of 6 months, there's so much you have lost, so much that has came out. So many different changes that have been taking place. So my advice in consulting world is always keep on top of your technology, continuously reading up on a new technology that's being released, take certifications as much as possible when you can, and continue to grow.
Is there some type of database that people have? Is there like a world of consultants that, you know, get together and tell you the latest certifications, or is that just something that's kind of left to your own accord? Or how do you learn about all of these new technologies and certifications and trainings?
Yeah, there is. Actually, there's a lot of boards out there. There's a lot of groups out there that you can go to and join. There's actually an online website that I utilize myself personally that encompasses all cloud technologies and offers courses and certifications. And as you go through this specific website, they actually have online videos, courses that you can take at your leisure and when you want. And once you go through those courses and you feel comfortable, you can take a certification test. That does take time. Now, yeah. These videos are not 5 minutes or 10 minutes. They're lengthy videos. Yeah, but they encompass, like, for example, they'll encompass courses like AC 103, all the architecture, and within each cloud segment, for example, all the AWS courses of the architecture. And there's a lot of courses out there from AWS to Azure and Google that you can take on a specific online website that I recommend. But not only that, there's also, you know, like QA courses.
Right.
Say you're struggling and you want to ask your group of buddies that, hey, have you ever seen this? There's all kinds of groups out there, even from a social media board.
Right. Yeah.
By the way, I didn't want to would say Facebook.
Oh, it's okay. I'm sure there's a ton of groups out there across the board, whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook. I mean, that's kind of how the world works these days, is that you get to know other people, you know, through social media, especially in this remote world that we're living in. So did you have certain challenges and setbacks as a consultant, whether it was, you know, with a client, with the other employees that you worked with or the team that you had?
The only setbacks I would imagine, and this is where my project management hat comes in, is where we have a project, the scope has been defined, and it's a long project. Say it's a year project. And the only setbacks that really impacted the project was the change of scope and the unknown issues. Those are two things that, one thing the customer can control is the change of scope. It's frequent and it happens. You do have to understand the change of scope and try to re-baseline your project and try to encompass the timeline if you can on that project, or if you can take the task and see what you can fast track. That's great. Some things you can't fast track is more of a waterfall than an agile approach, depends on what the project is.
So you talk about, you know, change of scope being, you know, one of the biggest challenges that you've come across in your consulting life. How do you best overcome that? Or what would be your advice to, you know, say the project changes from your project management hat, put that hat on? How would you best advise somebody who's in that role to overcome that challenge?
Well, if it's change of scope, it's because typically that the customer has changed the direction. And there's not a lot you can do about that. If the customer wants to do that, great. Then we have to turn around and look at the project. We have to re-baseline, incorporate those changes into the project plan, and move forward. That'll actually push out the dates and, of course, we'll talk about, you know, resources. It could be a change of resources. It's certainly going to impact time for the most part. And where change of scopes typically come in is from scope 3. The customer, we have a scope defined. We know what our project is. We complete our planning. We come up to an agreement. And the customer decides, well, I also want to do this. Can you do that real quick? We never say no. Absolutely, we can do that. But that's not an original scope. So let's go ahead and get a touch point. Define what your requirements and new requirements are. And we can go ahead and incorporate them into that plan, again, re-baseline, and go forward from there. One of the biggest things that, and I find out, and I noticed this in more consulting companies with Oxford, is one of the biggest things that you have to do any time that you're dealing with technology, for example, say moving to the cloud or migrating to the cloud, is you have to do assessments, several types of assessments. It's always very important to do a dependency assessment, performance assessment, security assessment, in order to move your infrastructure from on-premise to the cloud. Without those assessments, you're basically looking for disaster, so to speak. You just can't move a bunch of servers that feel like moving because you have to do dependency control. So you have to do tiering, you have to do grouping. That's one of the things that could be an unknown going into a company or into a consulting role, because those were assumed that they were completed. They could have been completed. They could have been completed 6 months ago or a year ago. Well, things change every month. So a lot of the unknowns is another thing that is something to look out for. There's nothing you can do about an unknown for the most part, but it's something that is certainly lessons learned. But one of my advice is consulting to make sure you have good governance and project. Make sure that you cover all your assessments from security, performance, dependencies, especially before you start doing your actual migration work. Make sure there's appropriate to the project.
Yeah. That's great advice. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, when timelines do get pushed back and, you know, you can't really reach a deadline when you're supposed to. What would you say is the best thing with somebody in your position? You know, would you say that it's a good idea to be transparent with the client? Should you just hope and pray that things get done when they're supposed to?
No, you can't can't help but pray. So what we do is, you know, any project manager should always have a rate law. A rate law, so, you know, your risk, et cetera. The reason why you want a rate law is so you can identify potentially risks that's coming up, issues that may come up or are coming up. It could be as simple as a technology that you were not aware of. It could be as simple as a software that you had in a specific task and there's no backup. That will miss the risk. You gotta have a backup. And say, for example, that consultant had a situation to where he's unable to deliver, unable to work and consult for some reason, and it pushes the timeline. So it's always ideal and best practices to make sure that you identify risks before they come into issues and always be transparent. Customers never like to hear that you might be late. But at the same time, if you surprise them and say, hey, by the way, we're not going to deliver anymore on this date, surprisingly, without even giving them any indications prior to that, they're going to be a little bit upset about it.
Right. You can imagine.
But, yeah, but absolutely. But if you come out and say, hey, well, we've got a situation here where this happened, or this technology, or this was an unknown, this could potentially push the deadline. Like, here's how we're going to try to remediate. Mm-hmm. We're going to either fast track this, we're going to bring somebody in, we're going to tackle it this way. It's still a risk that might push the timeline. But at least the customer is abreast of that and understands. You just don't want to go to the customer and say, oh, by the way, we're not going to make our timeline because of this.
Right.
Out. I have to let them know ahead of time. And being transparent with them, the customer will definitely respect that.
Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine, you know, the client would be much happier with a push deadline than a terrible product. So do you want to talk about the most rewarding project or, you know, client you've ever worked with?
Well, I think, you know, not the two doctors, but I think I really enjoyed the client that I came in to consult with Oxford. This company, the staff, has been with the consulting company I was consulting for 20 years, 10 years, 30 years, even more. Very, very interesting, very great group. And everybody collaborated so well. So when I got up to consulting for this company through Oxford, they had concerns. I had a lot of concerns. They had some issues. And this, again, goes back to what I mentioned before, is doing an assessment on your environment before migrating and moving anything to the cloud. That wasn't done, and that was one of the first things that I took care of.
Yeah.
I saved them a lot of time. I saved them a lot of money. I created a lot of aha for them. You know, they said, "Ooh, well, I'm glad we did that." That was very rewarding because, again, I saved a lot of time, a lot of issues that would have happened. So that was very rewarding. I did have another contract consulting prior to Oxford. That was a two-year contract. And it was a major, again, Fortune 500 company in the oil and gas industry that was moving everything they had as much as possible on premise into the cloud.
Yeah.
That was extremely large. We were talking terabytes of data. upon terabytes of data. And
that's a lot.
It was enormous, one of the biggest ones I've ever done. But it wasn't that it was a lot of data. What was challenging, and again, this was goes back to the amount of risk that we had, identifying these risks consistently, was the old technology that they were on to include all their own applications that was built by someone who retired 10 years ago.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So that technology, disk type, for example, and certain, let's say, for example, Linux, that just you had to upgrade after upgrade after upgrade or to even move it into the cloud. And in order to do that, the application had to function in a certain way. The application, you know, expert no longer existed. So that was, we finally did. But that was challenging. And it was very rewarding because we was we were successful not all the time, unfortunately.
Yeah, well.
We were successful.
Sounds like you were going from paper copies to just putting them into the computer in the first place.
Exactly. It would be nice if we could just scan it in, but you know, it doesn't work that way.
Wow. How long did that end up taking you?
2.5 years. So we were about 6 months behind. It wasn't necessarily us. We would have been about 2 months behind, if I recall. However, it was one of the situations where they had to keep records forever, so to speak. Not a 10-year, not a 7-year, but a forever situation. Ooh. And they had corruption in their databases that they didn't have backups for. So their assumption was, well, we just migrate, it won't be corrupted anymore. That was incorrect. If you have corruption on-prem and you're migrating to the cloud or migrating anywhere, it's going to be corruption on the other side. You're just copying the corruption. So what took additional months, so to speak, was the legal team within the consulting company that was consulting for finally made a decision to just copy the corruption.
Yeah. Well, I would say that that is definitely a rewarding project and probably something that, you know, you'll talk about forever. That's a pretty cool thing to be included in and leading.
It was certainly a feather in the cap and something that was large. Not many projects of that size takes place, and I was glad to be a part of it.
That's awesome. Any last minute, you know, tips, tricks, advice, anything you have for, you know, somebody wanting to get into consulting?
We talked about that a little bit earlier, was if you enjoy information technology, the best advice that I can give you is continue your education on it. And it changes every day.
Yep.
If you take a backseat, you know, 6 months later, while you're sitting in that backseat, technology will surpass you, and you're going to be surprised. I have so many things that come out that I look at every day, and then I'm just like, wow, this is really cool technology. It just came out. How does it work? You know, keep that drive. Continue your education. Continue to be hands-on. And continue to strive. That's my advice.
I think that's great advice. I think that's a great point to end on. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Wonderful. Thank you, Reagan. I appreciate it. Pleasure's all mine.
Thanks for tuning into our episode. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, and leave a review. We look forward to the next episode, but in the meantime, if you're interested in starting your role in consulting with Oxford Global Resources, contact us at www.oxfordcorp.com. That's OXFORDCORP.com. And head to our careers page. You can also find us on LinkedIn by searching Oxford Global Resources. We'll catch you on the next episode.